In general, saints see suffering differently than most people. Saints do not see suffering as obstacles to their relationship with Christ. But instead, they see their sufferings, whatever they are, as opportunities. Let me give you an example. Father Walter Chiswick wanted above all to bring Christ to others. Ordained a priest on June 24, 1937, Father Chiswick was inspired at the time by Pope Pius XI's call for priests to serve as missionaries in Russia. Right, he dared to cross into the then Soviet Union to search for Catholics. Remember history at this time. You know, communism and Catholicism do not go together. It was illegal to be a Catholic in the Soviet Union. In 1941, the Soviet authorities caught Father Chiswick and accused him of being a Vatican spy. He was sent to a slave labor camp in Siberia, and he'd be in captivity for over 23 years. Now, the Soviets wanted to make an example of him. They wanted to break his faith. They tortured him through hard labor and starvation. They electrocuted him up to the point of nearly killing him. He worked in freezing temperatures, was put into isolation, humiliated, and was even placed on a firing line, just to name a few. One can only imagine the temptation to despair because of the sufferings he was undergoing. Right? Where was God in all of this? He could have easily turned on God for seemingly punishing him for his evangelization attempts. Yet he remained faithful and trustful to God's providence. He saw his suffering as an opportunity to surrender to God his will and his heart. Word reached President John F. Kennedy, who decided to involve himself in Father Chiswick's situation. The U.S. Department of State proposed a deal to the Soviets. Release the priest. Allow him to go home to the United States. And in return, the Americans would permit two Russian spies to return to Russia. Agreement came only a month before Kennedy's assassination, but the plan held. Father Chiswick would return to the United States and would die in 1984. In fact, my parish priest growing up was the one who found his body. Father Chiswick's cause for canonization is now underway. Unlike many soldiers who underwent great suffering in war, instead of losing his faith, Father Chiswick had only grown closer to God through his suffering. He had surrendered the suffering to God, and through it was able to find lasting peace. Now, in our gospel this morning, our Lord sends his apostles to row across the Sea of Galilee, knowing full well that they would meet strong winds. Christ did this because he wanted to strengthen their faith and trust in himself. Being God Almighty, he intended to come to them at exactly the right moment and work two miracles, walking on the water and calming the storm. The result is as he had intended. Their faith in him was strengthened, and they proclaimed that he was the Messiah. St. Peter, who at this point is already the recognized leader of the apostles, and, if you pay attention, is also always the most daring or perhaps foolish among them, he shows himself ready to risk drowning in order to prove his trust and confidence in Christ. While he trusts in Christ, all goes well. But as he turns away from Christ to look at the waves and the storm, his faith is immediately weakened. He would have been lost were it not for the outstretched hand of his Lord. Christ saves him from his drowning and pulls him back onto the boat. Now, this whole event for both St. Peter and the apostles was a very necessary lesson in their education on who Christ was and how they were to respond to him in the midst of turmoil. So, this being said, as usual, this gospel provides us with a necessary lesson as well. I mean, we too must continue to trust in Christ in the midst of our sufferings, even when God seems to have deserted us. Now, most of the sufferings of our lives are caused by the brokenness of the human condition and how people treat us, right? I guess the remainder can be attributed to our own defects and sins or to some weakness in our mental bodily makeup. Being almighty, our Lord obviously foresees all these misfortunes and could technically prevent them. And sometimes he does. Yet, most of the time, he allows them to run their course. Now, why is this? I mean, after all, it seems at times like it doesn't make sense why we have to undergo what we have to undergo. Why does God allow this or that? It's not always clear to us in the moment, but our sufferings can and should be the means of educating us in our knowledge of life's true meaning. Christ obviously foresaw the storm his apostles would encounter when he sent them off across the sea. But that trial and the danger they ran into was actually for their own good, because they learned to realize that he was God and they could always trust him. A good came out of the evil of the danger. Now, our own personal sufferings are also foreseen by God and permitted by him, even if inflicted on us by someone else. Because we're imperfect beings, right, our first response to unpredicted suffering is usually annoyance or anger or hurt or despair. Yet, with the eyes of faith, suffering can also draw us closer to him and help us on the road to heaven. One of the hardest things to do, yet also the thing that is most freeing when we actually carry it out, is to surrender and accept the suffering as part of God's will. Our troubles in life are like the growing pains of our youth, right? They're necessary if we are to arrive at our full stature as sons and daughters of God. They form, mold, and shape our religious character and bring us closer to God if we allow them to do so. Now, for the lukewarm Catholic who gets upset with God because of his earthly sufferings, right, they can do the opposite. A lukewarm Catholic cannot see the purpose and value of suffering because he doesn't have his trust rooted in Christ firmly. As the first reading today says, God may not be seen clearly in the tornadoes or earthquakes or fires, but he is ever near to his children when such disasters occur. He has a purpose in every trial or tribulation which crosses the path of our lives, a purpose always to our eternal advantage, if only we will see and accept his will in these trials. Internal peace can be found in surrendering to the will of God in the moment, trusting that God has a bigger plan in all of this. Father Chizik knew suffering well. He remained faithful and trustful in the midst of his tremendous suffering in the Russian gulag. He wrote a beautiful prayer of surrender that I want to read to you. He prayed, "Lord Jesus Christ, I ask the grace to accept the sadness in my heart. I offer it up in union with your sufferings for those who are in deepest need of your redeeming grace. I surrender myself to your Father's will. I ask you to help me to move on to the next task that you have set for me." I guess you could even simplify this with, "Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Help me to let go and trust in you." You see, faithful submission to the will of God always and everywhere, in all events and circumstances of life, actually gives great glory to God and freedom to the soul. Surrendering to the will of God even carries more weight with him than long fasts, mortifications, and the most severe penances. God throws curveballs at every phase of our life, but we, by his grace, can learn to accept them wholeheartedly when they come, because we know he has a purpose behind them. Though we cannot foresee the storms that will come our way, we can prepare for them by increasing our trust in Christ. So practically speaking, Simple ways to do this are by starting and ending our day with prayer. Speak to Christ through prayer and ask Him to lead you. Pray that His will be done and offer up everything to Him. Ask Him for help in the morning to accept that day's trials as invitations to trust Him more. Further, where would we be without Mary? Turn to Our Lady for help. If you're staying close to Mary in prayer, we will be able to accept crosses more easily. Say a daily rosary to invoke her help. If you open our hearts to Mary, right, she'll help us to open our hearts to Christ. A person who is close to Mary receives the grace to trust in God more. Further, seek out the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist, in daily Mass when possible, and spend quiet time before the Blessed Sacrament when able, particularly before and after Mass. Share your struggles with God in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament in a simple and honest way. That's what I do, right? Then I leave them with Him, and I keep on going. We have no other choice. It's okay to admit the emotions you're feeling because of the particular suffering, right? Whether it be anger or fear, anxiety, doubts, and bitterness. I mean, we're human. If we are emotionless when going through suffering, well, then there's something wrong. But we can offer those emotions to God as a prayer. Finally, and perhaps I know this is the hardest, ask the Lord for the grace to accept the sufferings in our life with joy. Now, this might seem absurd to some, but with the eyes of faith, we know that suffering is meritorious. First, it's redemptive. It has value eternally if we offer it to God for ourselves or for our loved ones, both living and deceased. God attaches our sufferings to the cross and uses it for our salvation. And secondly, as I said, suffering draws us closer to God in trust. When everything is going well, many of us don't think about the fact that we are mortal and that life is fleeting. Yet suffering forces us to see our humanity. We can't control suffering always, so we have to trust that God can. Third, we have to trust that God can bring good out of the suffering. This stretches our faith. But the more our faith is stretched, the more secure it actually becomes. A person who has great faith most likely has suffered greatly in this life, but they also have the most joy. Overall, surrender is not a one-time thing. It's something we practice daily, often multiple times a day. When unexpected suffering comes our way, we want our response to be not one of anger, hurt, or bit, or faithlessness, but instead an act of faith in God's plan. The Lord's got this. He'll take care of it. It's for my good. It's freeing if we can do this. Surrender means giving up control to submit ourselves to the perfect will of God. Yet, we love being in control. We hate the feeling of being pushed out of the driver's seat of our own life. You know, the devil wants us to never be okay with leaving the driver's seat. That's why the religion of the world, the religion without God, hates suffering no matter what. Right? That's why abortion, euthanasia, transgenderism, and other attempts to not address or deny suffering by any means possible exist. So often we can push God away because we're afraid to give it all over to Him. But then we end up falling flat on our face anyway. Ultimately, we can forget how God designed every part of us. He knows every hair on my head, knows me better than I know myself, and sees beyond what I can see. He is God, not me. He knows what's going on. Saint Faustina once wrote, "If the angels were capable of envy, they would envy us for two things. One is the receiving of Holy Communion, and the other is suffering." Letting go and giving in Him control of our life is what will fulfill us the most, and ultimately, what will lead us to heaven. We can choose to suffer with love or without love. Yet when we suffer with love, with faith, then the suffering turns into a means of joy because we are surrendering to God as a prayer. He's got this. The apostles had to learn to trust Christ when he seemingly deserted them on the boat. Father Walter Chizik had a choice to despair in the midst of his severe tortures, but instead, he surrendered them to God in trust. So too do we need to learn to trust and surrender our own wills to Christ in the midst of our own sufferings and desolation. Only then can our suffering be turned into joy. Amen.